Chapter 8.
"Are you sure you don't wish to stay?"
Dr. Hansen asked as Janine and I stood from our chairs.
"I was just about to start laying out the outline for my article on the Savannah Scalper."
"As titillating as that sounds,"
Janine said with a half smile,
"Carter and I still have some more research to do, especially if you really think we have a werepanther on campus."
"I never said I thought he was on campus."
The bald man raised an eyebrow and frowned.
"What on Saturn's moons would make you think that?"
Janine opened her mouth to say something, but nothing came out. However, I couldn't allow there to be too much silence, or else the professor might start to get suspicious.
It's just a hunch,"
I interjected with a shrug. "The first attack happened north of UC up in Fairfield, and the second happened right here on campus. It seems like too much of a coincidence that they happened so close together."
"Fascinating."
Dr. Hansen rubbed his blubbery chin as he mulled over my words.
"I can see why you chose this young man as your research partner, Janine. He's quite a smart cookie. Who knows? Perhaps with you both on the case, Janine's thesis will break new ground in the world of paranormal archaeology. And then again, I'm not going to get my hopes up. Even the most world-renowned cryptozoologists don't know much about this species. They are one of the rarest shifters."
"If anyone can break new ground, it's Janine," I said, as I threw my arm around the redhead's shoulder.
"I don't doubt it. If I'm not careful, she may just take my job someday."
"Oh, please. You two are too flattering."
"Well, we're not going to get any research done by sitting here yapping. Let's get back to the library and move on to the next stage of our work."
"Good luck with your article, Dr. Hansen."
Janine gave a slight wave to her professor.
"I can't wait to read it."
"I can't wait to write it. I haven't done crap for academic scholarship all year."
"Good luck," I parroted, and then we both turned for the exit.
"Carter,"
the professor's voice suddenly blurted out,
"do you mind remaining behind for a second?"
Janine and I both froze in place and exchanged concerned looks. Was he really on to me and wanted me to stay behind so he could call me out? I didn't want to leave Janine alone right now. The cultists could still be out there waiting to snatch her up the second she showed her face. However, I couldn't just leave Hansen hanging. I didn't want to arouse suspicion, and he'd also been a great help to us so far. Even though she was trying to keep it all together, I could see the fear in Janine's wide eyes. They were glistening as if they were on the verge of tears, and her bottom lip quivered slightly. She was as scared to be alone as I was. "It'll be okay," I promised Janine in a whisper. "Just stay close to the door so I can hear you on the other side. And if anything weird happens, scream and I'll be right there." The redhead gave me a hesitant nod before she placed her hands together and began to twiddle her thumbs. Then she slowly sauntered out of the room, and the second the door was shut, I turned around to face Dr. Hansen.
"Don't be so nervous, my boy,"
the stout man said as he stood up from his desk.
"It's nothing bad. Well, at least I hope it doesn't end up being anything bad."
It was strange. My mind was screaming at me to get away from this guy. It was telling me he was on to me, and that if I stayed in this room, there would be nothing but pain and suffering. However, my gut told me Dr. Hansen wasn't a threat, and in reality, it was true. I'd torn apart several men with my bare hands. I could take a stocky, bald college professor any day of the week. Hell, I doubt I'd even need to turn back into my werepanther form to do it at this point. "What's this about?" I raised an eyebrow and crossed my arms as I watched him approach. "We really got to get back to studying." Suddenly, Dr. Hansen slapped both of his chubby hands on my shoulders and stared deep into my eyes.
"You need to take care of her, okay? Janine is a brilliant young woman, and she's a bit headstrong, and she will do anything to be a part of the action. Do you know once I saw her climb into a bat-ridden cave when nobody else on the expedition would?"
"Yeah," I chuckled as I sensed the tension leave the room. "That sounds like Janine, all right."
"But this isn't a cave of mostly harmless bats, Carter,"
the stocky man continued.
"The Order of the Lunar God wants the werepanther dead, and they will kill anybody who stands in their way. Actually, you don't even have to stand in their way. They'll kill you both if they think there's even the slightest chance it'll help them achieve their goal. And then there's the werepanther. We know nothing about the powers or abilities of that incredibly rare species of shifter. Whoever the OLG is after could be as harmless as a teddy bear, or they could be a completely unstable psychopath."
"I saw the report on the news app," I lied to cover my tracks. "I think I know which way the creature leans."
"All the more reason to watch after Janine. She knows just how dangerous this all is, but she doesn't care. Like I always tell my colleagues, Janine is the spirit of archaeology bound up in a fiery, intelligent redhead. She will push her own safety to the side if she knows it'll help her make a new discovery or further her research. So just be careful. I don't want to see a report that the two of you are found mauled to death or crushed by a building.
I'll keep her safe. I gave the professor a firm nod. I promise.
That is all I ask,
Hansen said with a smile, and then he stepped back and extended his right hand.
Thank you, Carter. I cannot wait to read this paper.
Neither can I admitted as I shook his hand. And thank you, Dr. Hansen. You've been a huge help.
Nah, I simply told you what anyone in the para-archaeology world doesn't know about a werepanther. I wish I could be more helpful. Now you two get to go off and fill in all the blanks.
Thank you, Dr. Hansen. I smiled, and then I turned back toward the exit. I strode over to the oversized, decrepit door and pulled it open with a flash, and when I stepped through the threshold, I saw Janine was still waiting on me. The beautiful redhead had her head tilted to one side as she nervously twisted her own ponytail, but she stopped when she saw me exit the room.
Does he know?
No, I shook my head. But I've got a feeling he might have some sneaking suspicions.
Oh, thank goodness.
She sighed, and then her lips curved into a sly grin.
What the hell was that about, then? Was he asking you for some hairstyling tips?
It definitely wouldn't do him any good. He's either got the option to comb over or to go full-on baldy.
You didn't answer the question,
Janine said, as her smile faded. Goddammit, she knew I was just trying to skip the question. He just wanted us to be careful, that's all. He told me we're delving into some really, really dangerous stuff, and he's worried we're going to get killed by the OLG or torn to pieces by a werepanther. One that's totally not me.
Then why didn't he just say that? Why did he need you to hang back and... Oh, I see. He thinks I can't handle it, and you need to be there to protect me?
I couldn't sneak one past her. She knew exactly what was going on. Of course she did. She was Janine Beckett. I once saw her get into an argument about the origins of the Rosetta Stone with a professor, and she'd won. There was no point in trying to keep up some false charade. He's just concerned. Frankly, I'm still a little freaked out by the whole thing, too. I mean, fuck, I was nearly sacrificed in the middle of the woods. These guys don't play around.
I appreciate the concern,
Janine grumbled as she turned and began to walk away.
But he should know by now I can handle myself.
Not really, I said as I started after her. Not really, as in he doesn't know that you can handle yourself. Not you can't handle yourself.
We've done field work together. He saw me climb into a...
bat-ridden cave, he told me. But these guys are way worse than a bunch of ugly yet harmless bats.
I know that. All of these OLG members are only regular men, though. They're going up against two powerful creatures.
One, they aren't just regular men. I took one of their moonlight beams to the chest, and let me tell you, I don't think Jim Smith from down the street could pull one of those off. Two, Hansen doesn't know any of that. He doesn't know you're a changeling, and he certainly doesn't know I'm the werepanther everybody's been looking for. He thinks you're regular old Janine Beckett, 20-something prodigy of para-archaeology and the smartest girl on campus.
Oh, please.
Janine snorted as she rolled her eyes.
I'm not a prodigy.
He seemed pretty convinced you were going to crack the code on this whole werepanther thing, even though nobody else in your field has ever come close.
Little does he know it's only because I have a live specimen to study. And boy, have I studied each and every inch of him.
The blood rushed to my dick as Janine's soft, calming voice took me back to our lovemaking, and I had to force myself to snap out of it quickly. I really didn't want to be walking around the UC campus with a full, visible hard-on. That would be a public indecency arrest just waiting to happen. Janine and I walked to the Blegan Library on high alert, but as we strolled across the campus, I noticed there was now a definite police presence. Every other block or so, there was a white police cruiser parked in a lot or on the side of the road, and I could see several uniformed officers mulling about the outdoor common areas. Man, they're really upping the security around here, aren't they? That news put everyone on edge.
That actually plays out in our favor. We both just look like regular students who belong on a college campus. If past experience is any indicator, then most of the members of the OLG are older, much past the regular age of a college student. They're going to stick out like a sore thumb.
I hate to be a Debbie Downer here, but I don't think a literal death cult that worships an ancient Egyptian deity and whose members can harness the magic powers of the moon is going to be afraid of a few cops.
Surely not. Though, just like any other cult, the Order of the Lunar God has only been able to exist so long because they've remained in the shadows. getting into a Bonnie and Clyde-style shootout with the police isn't exactly subtle.
Neither is attacking two students in broad daylight. I shrugged. Sometimes logic doesn't account for everything. Soon we came up to the brown and red structure of Bleggan, and as we approached the glass double doors, Janine looked back at me over her shoulder.
Are you sure you don't want to try to break in again? It's a lot more fun.
Sure, I retorted with an eye roll. If that's what you want to call it. I'm actually more worried about what we're going to say to Agatha. She witnessed the whole thing go down yesterday, and I'm sure she put two and two together when she saw the reports about the dead men on the news.
Don't worry about her. I know, like, 30 different ways to sweet-talk my way past her. And if that doesn't work, well, then I may have to bust out a bit of the changeling magic.
I grabbed onto the metal handle of the library door, opened it for Janine, and then followed her inside. We walked through the main lobby of Bleggan, with its crude atlas-like statue of a man sitting on the ground and holding a globe over his head. And now that we weren't trying to sneak around or run away from psycho killers, I could really appreciate the building we were in. All throughout the lobby were beautiful rare paintings, statues, and pieces of artwork, accompanied by small information tiles explaining the history of the works. Our shoes squeaked against the pristine white and tan laminate floor we passed over, which itself matched up with the color scheme of the interior walls. The ceilings were ridiculously high, to the point where even that giant skeleton in Dr. Hansen's office would be clear by several feet, and everything in the building was completely spotless. It was almost as if the building had just been constructed yesterday. We passed by the classics room of the library, and then continued on past the old staircase, until we finally reached the rare books and archives room. There was another metal and glass door that separated the room from the main lobby, and a sign stated there was no entry without an appointment. Is that going to be a problem? I asked, as I pointed to the sign.
Not for me, it's not.
The redhead did a little wiggle before she shuffled over to the right side of the door, reached up, and pressed in the button of the buzzer. It went off with a dull droning sound, and then Janine stepped back and placed her hands on her hips. About 30 seconds later, a young man appeared at the doorway. He looked to be about the same age as us, with thinning blonde hair and what I could only describe as a feeble attempt at a mustache. Patches of dark blonde hair stubbled out from under his pointed lip, though it was so sporadic he may as well have been a burn victim. The guy wore a light gray shirt with the Destiny logo slapped onto his front, but the bottom edge of the garment came way too close to the edge of his belly for my comfort.
Sorry, guys. The rare books and archives is closed today.
Closed?
Janine gasped, and her eyes nearly popped out of her head.
You guys never close. Where's Agatha?
That's the thing, my guys. Apparently Agatha had a major panic attack after what she saw yesterday, so the university gave her a few days off. She'll be back on Monday.
Monday?
The redhead gulped.
We can't wait until then. We have a research project we need to get done ASAP. Can't you just let us in? I've been here a million times before, so I know all the protocols for handling the old materials.
No can do.
The kid shook his head.
I'm just a student worker, so I have no authority over anything in this library. They told me to hang out at the door and tell people we were closed.
Have there been other people trying to get in? I asked, as a thought crossed my mind. Particularly older gentlemen?
Older.
He mused as he stroked his mustache stubble.
I saw some dudes in their 40s here earlier. They weren't very happy when I said they couldn't get in, but I held firm.
I looked over at Janine, and we both exchanged a glance of fear. They'd already been here. That's okay, I said as I raised my hand and turned away. We can come back on Monday. Thank you.
They knew we were coming back here.
Janine hissed, as we both shuffled away from the rare books and archives room.
Son of a bitch!
I'm not surprised. That's going to throw a giant metal wrench into the whole operation. Are you sure we can't just look on the internet for sources?
Oh, Carter.
The redhead giggled as she patted my left shoulder softly.
You still have much to learn.
What? I said with a half smile. You can find some good stuff on the internet. You gotta wade through loads of crap to find it, but it's there.
Not with para-archaeology, you can't. Think of the most convoluted topic you've ever researched. One that doesn't have many peer-reviewed articles, or that doesn't get picked up by legitimate news sources, or has very minimal historical records. Now, multiply that by 100. That's doing paranormal research online.
Fine. But even if that's the case, I don't want to waste away the entire day just because we can't get into the library. Time is kind of the essence here. Especially when I could turn back into a werepanther at any moment.
Well,
Janine pondered aloud as she rubbed her chin.
We could always go and do some field tests.
Field tests? I raised an eyebrow.
Field tests,
she repeated, as if somehow that would make me understand.
Like, we take you out into the field and then do a bunch of tests.
What kind of tests are you talking about? You planning to, like, swab my nose and draw blood?
I was thinking something a bit more fun. Like, maybe trying to test out your powers.
Now, that was an idea. Even if I didn't understand my transformations quite yet and couldn't control it, I knew some of my superhuman abilities bled over into my human form. Maybe Janine was right. A little bit of trial and error with superpowers sounded like an awesome idea. What were you thinking? I asked the archaeology student.
There's this old park with a trail not too far from campus. Most of the park is pretty much abandoned since there are much nicer places to have a picnic nowadays, and the woods surrounding the park have grown a little wild and creepy. Like, think of something out of a Stephen King novel. Bunch of rusty playground equipment, rotting wood benches, lots of fog, all nestled in the center of a creepy forest. But, with that being said, it is a really nice place to take a walk and clear your head. Or at least it is for me.
Well, shit. Why didn't you say something sooner? Sounds like the perfect place to get our freaky paranormal sides on.
Our?
The redhead asked, before she blew a strand of strawberry hair out of her face. Don't think I'm going to play the lab rat all by myself. If I got to test out my powers, then so do you.
There's not much to test for me.
Janine shrugged.
I quite literally have no control over my abilities. I simply summon the magic into my hands, point it in a direction, and then let fate take over.
How do you know you have no control? Have you ever really sat down and tried to work it out scientifically?
Not exactly. I mean, I've run some tests on my own before, but it's not like I've ever had anyone to observe me. You're the only other person in the universe who knows my secret.
Then there's no time like the present. I smiled. Let's get to that creepy-ass park. Janine and I headed out the lobby of the Blegan Library and back onto the main stretch of the eastern campus. We hurried back to her Grand Prix, hopped inside, and then set off to our next destination. But as we left the campus, I ducked down in my seat.
What are you doing? They're looking for both of us, you know?
Yeah, but they've been watching me for Lord knows how long. You're still pretty new.
They probably know my car at this point, too. But it's not like I can just go and buy a new one.
We could try to change out your license plate. Isn't that how the dude in the transporter evaded the cops?
That's not a terrible idea. Though it would present quite a few logistical issues. For example, if we got pulled over, the police would quickly find out the plates were fake and haul us both off to jail.
Good point. I bet getting arrested and going to prison would set off my Werepanther transformation for sure. And I don't need Fugitive of the Law next to my name anytime soon. We drove about 10 miles off the UC campus, until finally, Janine pulled into a small park I'd never even heard of before. There were only two other cars in the parking lot, and a heavy fog swirled in the air around us like a translucent blanket. The lot itself was run down, with cracks all throughout the pavement and a cost-effective wooden perimeter fence that was made out of horizontal posts and looked like it was about to fall over. A family of four tossed a football around out on the grassy knoll next to the parking lot, whose grass had been trampled down into nothing but a flat brown muck.
See what I mean?
Janine said as she killed the engine.
Nobody's gonna come looking for us here.
If this is the parking lot, I can't wait to see the actual playground. It's not next to a pet cemetery, is it?
Only one way to find out.
The redhead smirked. The two of us exited the vehicle, and then Janine led me to the northern part of the lot. There before us stood a small dirt pathway that parted the muddy grass like the Red Sea, and led directly back into an ominous opening in the forest. Janine started down the path without a second's hesitation, so I shuffled after her in a hurry. As we drew closer to the tree line, my nostrils began to detect the faint smell of cedar and evergreen, mixed in with swampy, wet mud. The pathway grew a bit narrower as we entered into the forest, and the ground beneath our feet became softer. Before long, we were trampling through muddy soil.
I hope you didn't like those shoes too much.
Aw, they're my best pair, I joked, as I pointed down at the sneakers she'd bought me. But they're just going to tear into a million pieces the next time I transform, so it's whatever.
Like hell they will.
The redhead shot back.
Just toss them off your feet when you feel the Werepanther taking over.
I don't think it works like that. There's not really anything that warns me I'm about to Hulk out. One minute I'm just regular old Carter Hatfield, and then the next I'm writhing on the ground in pain and turning into Big Bad and Hairy.
That's something we can try to work on. Sooner or later, with enough testing, we should be able to figure out what exactly is causing you to transform.
We trekked through the misty forest for another 10 minutes or so, as the dusk began to break around us. Janine took me down a few different forks on the road, until finally, we came to a clearing shrouded in nothing but the light of the setting sun. At the far end of the clearing was a metal slide, and it had definitely seen better days. It stood about 10 feet tall, with an incline that put a San Francisco street to shame, and the bars on the side of the slide's stairs were in various states of decay. One of them was bent inward into a sharp point, and the other had practically rusted away. As for the slide itself, it was warped beyond redemption and covered with rust. In the center of the playground sat an equally decrepit merry-go-round. The thing had originally been painted with a bright blue and red color scheme, but now all that was left were faded hues that chipped away from the metal. Several seats of the merry-go-round were nothing but rusted-out holes, and the entire piece creaked eerily as it turned with the wind. Off to the left of the clearing was one of those wooden playground sets, and it stood 8 feet tall and stretched out about 12 feet wide, with several tunnels and fake prisons and metal poles to slide down. Of course, the entire playground set was covered with a layer of slimy green moss, and a lot of it had crumbled from lack of upkeep. A set of rusted-out monkey bars was next to a crude tire swing, which itself was hanging on by a thread to the tree branch above it. Speaking of branches, the entire freaking clearing was littered with them. It was pretty obvious why nobody let their kids play here anymore. There were probably 10 types of tetanus hanging around on the equipment alone, including strains that had never been discovered before. Wow. I whistled as I looked over the decay. You're really treating me today. All that's missing is the creepy howl of a coyote off in the distance.
There might be one,
Janine said as she tapped her chin.
Maybe we should start off with that first.
What? My ability to sniff out coyotes?
Your superhuman hearing? I've read accounts of shifter attacks where the monster stalked them from nearly half a mile away. If that's the case, you should be able to hear just about everything in this whole park.
And how the fuck do I do that? All I'm hearing right now is your voice and a few chirping frogs.
Focus,
Janine instructed.
Simply close your eyes and try to hone in on your inner werepanther. Let it take over your ears, but just your ears.
All right. I sighed as I walked over to the rusty merry-go-round and sat down on one of the remaining seats. I feel like I'm getting a lesson in meditation, though.
That's because you are. At least that's where I learned this technique. If it helps a normal human hone in on their senses, then I can't even imagine what it'll do for a superhuman. Now just start by closing your eyes and taking a few slow, deep breaths. Try to block out everything that's unimportant, even if that's my voice.
I closed my eyes and placed my hands on top of my knees. Then I leaned forward and began taking a few long, powerful breaths. At the same time, I started to actively think about the environment around me. I pictured the nasty green cicadas chittering off in the trees, as well as the cool, translucent mist that clung to every inhalation I made. I thought about the muddy ground as it squished underneath the boots of hikers, the leather of the football those family members were throwing around, even the dead blades of grass that rustled in the wind. Suddenly, my brain began to rattle in my skull as a sharp, painful screech rang through my ears. Then I heard the sounds I'd been focusing on, every single one of them at once. I slapped my hands against my ears as I fell off the merry-go-round and plopped down onto the filthy ground. My mouth fell open, and I let out a pained yelp as I began to rock back and forth and tried to push away the audio assault.
Carter?
Janine's voice finally cut through the noise.
Focus on my voice, okay? You have to focus on my voice.
What's happening? I growled through gritted teeth.
You're getting sensory overload. Only focus on one sound at a time, not all of them.
Okay, let's try it that way then. I tried my damnedest to clear my head until the sounds eventually subsided, but then I was left with only silence. I saw Janine's mouth moving as she talked to me, but all I could hear was a muffled whisper. Then I heard the sound of rustling branches. It was as clear as frickin' ASMR and equally as satisfying. I can hear the trees! Janine, I can hear them rustling like they're right next to me.
I knew you could do it.
The redhead smiled.
Now try something further away. Maybe something sparser than the trees. Oh, I know. I think there's a bird's nest up in that cedar over there. Try to focus on that.
I nodded and then scanned my surroundings using nothing but my eardrums. It was a strange sensation, since it felt much like I had two sonar dishes attached to the sides of my head. If I turned slightly, I could suddenly hear everything in the direction facing my ears. But if I then concentrated on a single sound and isolated it from the rest, it was literally music to my ears. I turned so the side of my head was facing the cedar tree in question, and I heard the soft tweet of the bird in its nest. Then I focused in on the nest itself and heard four more tweets, all of which were more high-pitched than the first. There are four babies in the nest. They all sound annoyed.
That detailed? What about the family out by the parking lot? Do you think you can hone in on them?
I can certainly try. I closed my eyes and slowly turned my head until I caught the faint sound of leather smacking against flesh, as well as the whispers of a conversation. Then I froze in place, pictured the family in my head, and isolated their sounds.
"Attaboy, son," the father of the family said. "You'll be an all-star tight end for UC in no time."
"I want to be a quarterback, Daddy,"
a young boy protested. There was the sound of swishing air, followed by a dull plop against the ground.
"Not with that arm, you won't."
"Harold,"
the mom grumbled.
"What? I'm just being honest with the kid."
I can hear their whole conversation, I sputtered as I opened my eyes and looked at Janine in disbelief. I can hear everything, down to the sound of the ball hitting their hands. Honestly, I could probably tell you exactly where the ball landed, too.
"Incredible,"
Janine breathed with wide eyes.
"Carter, those people are at least 3/4 of a mile away, if not more."
"Damn," I whistled as I tried to think of all the possibilities this would give me. "What else can I do?"
"Let's find out,"
Janine said with a sly grin.
"Werepanthers are supposed to be very agile as well. Have you ever played The Ground is Lava?"
"Of course I have. What kid hasn't?"
"Well, what if we try it here?"
The redhead gestured to the playground equipment.
"These different pieces are too far away for any regular human to jump between. But to a werepanther with enhanced agility, this should be a piece of cake."
"But I'm fully human right now. I don't even have the freaking glowing eyes."
"I don't think you need to be partially transformed,"
she said as she tapped her lip. But then she shrugged and rubbed her hands together.
"Or maybe you do. The only way to find out is by testing it out. Isn't science fun?"
"Well, it's fun until I miss that jump by a mile and eat a face full of dirt." "But you know what? I'll try it, just for you."
"Oh, thank you, Carter."
Janine giggled, and then shot me a wink.
"I'll make sure to have the orange slices and first aid kit ready."
I figured I'd start with the easiest distance, which was the merry-go-round to the monkey bars. So I placed 1 foot down against the wood chip mulch of the ground, and turned the merry-go-round so I was facing the monkey bars. Next, I stood up and steadied myself, all while my brain screamed at me to reconsider. Every fiber of my being told me I wasn't going to make this jump. It was only about 50 feet, but that was far longer than even the best Olympic long jumper could do with a running start. And I was standing completely still, on top of a rusted-out piece of playground equipment. I took a deep breath as I shifted back and forth on my feet and tried to psych myself up. In the worst-case scenario, I would just fall flat on my face and maybe scrape my knee. So the only thing I risked injuring right now was my pride.
"Attempting the world record for distance jumping! Carter Hatfield!"
Hatfield, I said in a veiled attempt at humor. Janine didn't laugh. Instead, she simply stood there as she watched me with her arms crossed over her busty chest and her hip popped out to the left. Her eyes were narrowed and her bushy red eyebrows were furrowed with interest. I guess I didn't want to keep my audience waiting any longer than they had to, so I crouched down, took a deep breath, and then shoved myself forward. The metal underneath my feet practically screamed in agony as I propelled myself off of it, but it still held. I felt my body shoot up off the merry-go-round, and much to my surprise, I rose about 10 feet in the air. I flailed my arms in a panic as I flew over the ground and then began to fall toward the monkey bars. My aim seemed to be true, though, and the next thing I knew, I was landing atop the bars, safe and sound.
"It worked!"
Janine clapped her hands together and grinned from ear to ear.
"Oh, holy shit. Honestly, I'm more impressed with the fact that I'm not fighting for balance right now. I've always sucked at the balance beam in gym class."
"Panther agility,"
the redhead nodded.
"Now, can you make the jump to the slide?"
I glanced over at the metal piece of playground equipment and tried to judge the distance. It looked like it was a bit further of a jump, but not by much. If I could go 50 feet, then why couldn't I simply go 5 more? I walked over to the edge of the monkey bars, crouched down again, and took a deep breath. This time, the metal ground beneath me held firm as I launched myself off of it, and I rose up 10 feet in the air, but this time I was able to aim with much more precision. I slammed into the stairs of the slide about halfway up, grabbed onto what remained of the handrails, and held on for dear life. Finally, I pounded my feet into the metal stairs and then scurried up to the top.
Huh, that was a little harder, but it still wasn't too bad.
Don't get too cocky, my friend. Now comes the hardest one of all. Go from the slide to the wooden playset.
What?
I gasped as I looked over at the decaying playground staple.
No way, that's like over 100 feet.
And you didn't think you could even make 50.
The archaeology student shrugged.
I'd take my chances if I were you.
I guess I can just try. Just promise you won't laugh if I miss.
We both know I can't make that promise,
she said with a playful wink.
I don't think you'll miss it, though.
She had a lot more confidence in me than I did. Sure, I'd now discovered I could jump long distances without much effort, but 100 feet? I was up on top of the 10-foot slide, which would probably give me a little more breathing room than if I'd started on the ground. But would that be enough? I was very skeptical. But there was only one way I could find out. I took a half step back so I was as far back as I could get on the top of the slide, and then I prepared to charge. There was only enough space to take a single step before propelling myself forward, but I knew I would need it. As I made the step, I crouched down and pushed my feet into the metal slide as hard as I fucking could. My body shot up into the air and rocketed forward like a cheetah over the savannah, and I was headed right for the wooden playset. I was about halfway there when gravity took over, and I felt myself slowly getting pulled back to the ground below. When I reached about 60 feet, I realized I wasn't going to make it.
Oh, shit!
I called out as my feet hit the ground. I tucked my body into a ball as I hit the mulch, so I absorbed any impact that might have occurred and simply rolled up to my feet.
Ooh, way to go, Carter!
Janine said with a grin. What are you talking about? I asked with a raised eyebrow. I missed.
You might have missed, but did you see the recovery? It was like something out of Kill Bill.
Superhuman agility.
I parroted her earlier words as I shot her a wink.
Also, this isn't a bad thing. Now we know you can only make jumps of about 50 to 60 feet while you're still in your human form. Hopefully we won't need that information anytime soon, but it might come in handy someday.
So even though I hit the ground, it still counts as a success.
Of course it does.
I want to go again,
I said as I cracked my neck. See what else I can do. Janine and I spent the next half hour or so testing out my agility and speed, but eventually we ran out of running drills, so the redhead turned to me with her hands on her hips.
Now, let's see about that super strength.
What do you want me to do? Pull out one of those giant-ass trees over there with my bare hands?
If you think you can.
The beautiful woman purred, and a smirk tugged at her full lips.
I was thinking something a little bit more manageable, though, just to start. The slide, maybe?
That thing?
I pointed to the metal slide with my thumb. The thing that looks like it'll fall apart if you look at it wrong.
Like I said, it's simply a starting point. Those dents aren't going to fix themselves, you know. And it looks like nobody else is going to fix them either. Plus, even if you break it, I'm sure no one will notice or care.
All right. I nodded to the archaeology student, and then I proceeded to head back over to the deformed slide. Okay, so I needed to try and fix these dents with my bare hands.
Should be easy enough. It's just a thin sheet of metal.
I wrapped my hand around the side of the slide before I bent down and reached up to its underbelly. The metal was still warm to the touch from the summer sun as I pressed all 5 of my fingertips against it and pushed, and the metal groaned and moved upward with next to no effort. Within seconds, the dent had been fixed, so I moved on to the second one and repeated my action. Before long, every single distorted spot was back to normal, and the slide looked as good as new. Well, okay, maybe not as good as new, but it was at least functional again.
There,
I said as I brushed dirt and flakes of rust off my hands. That was simple. As I turned back to Janine, however, I got an idea. The metal of the slide was fairly flat and flexible, so it was no wonder I could fix it easily. If I wanted a real challenge, I needed to try and bend something sturdier. Like the merry-go-round I'd just been sitting on. I walked over to the playground piece, and Janine's eyes widened.
What are you doing? Shouldn't you be trying out your strength on the monkey bars or something?
Actually, I was thinking something a little... bigger.
I smirked. Janine opened her mouth to say something, but it was too late. I grabbed onto the edge of the merry-go-round in two different places, and then growled as I squeezed my hands as tightly as I could. The faded metal bent under my grasp in an instant, and soon my own fingers pressed up against my palm. Still, I wasn't done. With the merry-go-round still in my grasp, I jerked my arms upward until I felt the hard resistance of the ground below me. The rusty metal screamed as I tried to lift it out of the dirt, until eventually there was a hearty snap. I let out a roar of excitement as I lifted the entire fucking merry-go-round out of the ground.
Holy fuck!
Janine sputtered as her mouth dropped open. Finally, I pressed my hands toward each other horizontally, and the metal of the playground piece crumbled under the pressure. I wasn't able to smash it completely, but by the time I was done, it looked like a metal accordion. Ah, okay. The super strength is definitely there in human form.
Just imagine how strong you are in panther form.
Well, after what happened in the woods with the OLG, I can imagine a lot.
That's good, because...
Suddenly, I heard the crack of a ground twig somewhere behind us. I made a shush gesture to Janine as I whipped my head around and scanned the tree line for any signs of cultists. But the misty fog was so thick, it was nearly impossible to see what was going on. Still, that didn't stop me. I could hear whoever was out there. I turned my head back and forth like a biosonar for a few seconds, until finally I heard the sound that both caught my attention and made my heart jump into my throat. A heartbeat. We weren't alone. I focused in on the sound even further as I tried to hone in on it. Whoever this was, they weren't breathing heavily, and they didn't seem to be trying to hide themselves very well. Their heart beat like normal, and their breaths came out in a regular rhythm. They weren't even scared. I was going to have to change that. I gave Janine a concerned look before I shushed her again. Then I made my move. In one fell swoop, I spun around and charged into the mist, right where I'd heard the sound of the intruder. Once I got a bit closer to the tree line, I could make out the distinct silhouette of a man. Then, in a split second, I got a full glimpse of our stalker. He wore a knee-length tan trench coat that was unfastened to reveal the beer gut underneath his ill-fitting dress shirt. The man had on a pair of equally tan khakis as well as a fedora, and it looked like he was in his mid to late 40s. I threw out my arms and slammed into him at full speed.
Yeah!
He yelped as we both went down to the ground, and then I flipped over so I was on top of him. I let out a snarl of anger as I pinned him down by his hands and stared deep into his blue eyes.
Who are you and why are you following us? Are you with the cult?
The cult?
The trenchcoat-wearing man gasped.
The OLG,
I said.
The Order of the Lunar God.
We fucking hate the OLG, honest to God.
Then I'll ask one more time,
I warned as I leaned in close to his face, and I put more pressure on his wrists until his bones groaned.
Who do you work for?
Ada!
The man wheezed.
I work for Ada Barrow!
Ada Barrow?
Janine echoed as she walked over.
Did I just hear him say Ada Barrow?
That's a name!
The man said with a vigorous nod.
That name means nothing to me. Why are you following us? And why shouldn't I tear your head off your shoulders right now?
Easy, man!
He practically blubbered.
I'm only doing what the boss lady wanted me to do.
Which is stalking us?
I asked as I narrowed my eyes.
That's not a good enough answer.
Honest? I don't know anything about anything. I'm just the driver she hired like a month ago. Miss Barrow wanted me to deliver a message to some dude named Carter Hatfield, and I couldn't find him at his dorm or at any of his classes.
You know my class schedule?
I snarled, and the man winced as he closed his eyes and turned away.
How long have you been following me?
I've only been around a couple times over the last 2 days,
the terrified man said, and then he slowly opened up his eyes.
I tried to meet up with you everywhere Miss Barrow told me to look, but you were never there.
This guy seemed completely clueless, so I figured there was no reason to keep up the rabid interrogator act. Still, I wanted to know why this Ada woman was having me followed.
What does Miss Barrow want with us?
She just wants you to meet her at her club tonight.
Why would we do that?
Janine said with a snort.
Ada Barrow has quite the reputation. A reputation I don't think either of us wants to be associated with.
Oh, she thought you'd say that. So she wanted me to tell you she knows Carter's secret and wants to help. Whatever the fuck that means.
My blood ran cold at the strange man's words. I didn't know who this woman was, but she sure as fuck knew a lot about me.
Still not interested.
Janine shook her head furiously. Look, the man said with a shrug. My part of the job's all done. Whatever you guys want to do is what you're going to do. Tell you what, my limo is parked just behind the tree line to the east. It's like a 5-minute walk. I'll go chill out there while you guys talk it over, and if you change your minds, I'll be there. Sound good?
I doubt we'll change our minds, but we'll think about it.
I let go of the man, and he instantly turned and shuffled away through the forest. Who the fuck is Ada? I asked the beautiful redhead.
Ada is a nightclub owner, but her nightclub is kinda seedy, to say the least. There are a lot of rumors swirling around that woman, all of which involve the paranormal.
So you think she's an otherworldly being? I asked, as I glanced up at the redhead. Because if so, she might just be able to help us out with our current little situation.
I've also heard she's dangerous,
Janine said, and pursed her lips.
That she's quite literally a sexy man-eater.
It sounds like she knows who I am, Janine. Which means she might be able to help me figure out, well, everything.
Or she could simply be luring you into a trap to kill you,
the redhead pointed out as she crossed her arms.
Werepanthers don't generally seem to get along with any other paranormal species, not from what I've read.
If things go south, then we can kill her too, I said as I held my head high. You can stay behind if you want, but I'm going to take the driver up on his offer and see what this woman has to say.
Don't be ridiculous, Carter. If you're going, I'm going. So I guess let's go before that weirdo in the trench coat changes his mind.
I may not have known who Ada was, or what she was capable of, but I sure as fuck knew I needed answers, and she seemed like a good place to start. It was time to go off and do a bit of field research.